Today on Snail Trail 4x4, Tyler gets the shivers and Jimmy has an ice package.
Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to you by Bestline Racing. Our new Diamond Nano technology acts as tiny ball bearings that keep the boundary layer strong, smooths out the metal surfaces, and is virtually impervious to heat and pressure. This keeps you in your rig rather than under it. High performance is more than our products, it's our lifestyle. Bestline Racing.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course hearing about how awesome Fords are, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs, I'm one of your co-hosts today. My name is Tyler. Nice to meet you all. Nice to see you again. Nice to hear all your lovely voices without hearing them. And sitting here with me, joining me in the studio, is the one and only Mr. Short Arms himself, Dino. Dino, you going to talk yet? Okay. We gave him a microphone over there, and he's refusing to talk on it, but he's scratching and rubbing. I don't know what he's doing with that. Whoa, don't put it there. Anyway, and to Jimmy, let's introduce Jimmy here. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm good.
Nice. Everybody knows who you are.
Yeah.
You're the popular one of the podcast.
Apparently.
do you want to enlighten everybody as to why or who thinks you're so popular and loves you more than me?
You told me the story of we talked about this a lot, or talked about this story a little bit on, last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
When you were pulled over on the side of the road and you had your hood up,
yes.
That Lee outside, out saying 80, stopped and uh-huh. came back and, saw you guys. And, I guess you gave him the inverter, and I don't know if he was out helping to diagnose what was going on. But
not really. He was mainly just kind of sitting there taking pictures. And I was like, dang it, Lee.
Nice. And so I guess his kids got out.
Yes.
He has a 5-year-old and a 9-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And they got out and they were talking with the secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took off, and then you guys buttoned things up and you started heading back home
uh-huh.
with your tail between your legs.
Yeah.
And the secretary said something along the lines of, oh, those kids are going to be so excited to see Jimmy.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy's their favorite on the podcast.
Yes, exactly. And I was like, oh.
That's funny. So, yeah. So, they were pretty stoked. They were a little bit shy. I would maybe uh-huh. a little starstruck. I'm not sure when uh-huh. They first saw me. And then they definitely warmed up. And it was, hey, Jimmy, check this out. Hey, Jimmy, check this out. Hey, Jimmy, let's go do this. Hey, Jimmy. So, it was fun. We had a good time.
Nice. That's yeah. cool. Yeah, Jimmy, the popular one of Snail Trail 4x4. So
definitely.
That's
don't forget
cool.
it.
Yeah, I'll try not to. I'll just keep cracking jokes at everybody to make sure it stays that way.
There you go.
So, yeah, this is cool. This is episode 106, and we have a really neat episode for you guys today because if you're listening to this episode on the day it comes out, that means it's July 6th in your ear holes. And in just a few days, there's going to be some really, really interesting information being released to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to kind of cover some of the stats that we have found on the internet. But before we get into that, and before we get into getting all of you guys excited, we need to give the last update's coming next episode. But on the Gear Wrench Tool Month.
Yeah, this is since we time travel.
Yeah.
You know, we're recording this before Monday's episode.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's no real updates to necessarily give except mm-hmm. it's now closed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at this point in time, we don't know who the winners are, but
nope.
we will be announcing them on Thursday's episode coming up.
Correct. Yep. You do have some nice packages in the garage. You
yes.
have a nice package, Jimmy.
Thank you, buddy.
You have some nice packages over in the shop.
You should never forget.
Right. Oh, man. But yeah, those kits look awesome.
Yeah.
You were showing me how well you were able to set them up in the boxes for shipping. And I was like, I want one of those. I'll take one of those.
Yeah.
I'll take one of those with me.
Yes,
one of those.
I know. I think there's two things in that kit that I actually have.
Oh, really?
You know, it's like, you know, the pass-through set.
Uh-huh.
I got one of those. And then, like, I have a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
I have a small brass punch, but it'd be nice to have some of the bigger ones.
Yeah. I have a really, really big brass punch.
Yeah. Yeah. I have the flashlight.
Mm-hmm. That it?
I got the torque, the digital torque wrench.
Oh, that's true. Yep.
That's about it.
I think the only thing I have is the digital torque wrench.
Yeah.
Oh, and the Lufkin.
Oh, the tape measure. Measures. Yeah. Yeah, the Lufkin tape mm-hmm. measures. I have a ratchetable box end wrenches, but not the reversible kind.
Those are nice.
Those are so nice because I don't know how many times I have to think, like, am I going to back myself into a corner, into a wall, and not be able to get this off?
Yeah.
And it's nice to be able to have those reversible ones.
Yeah, so. I agree. It's also super nice to be able to just look at the wrench and know which way you're going to be ratcheting.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the non-reversible ones, there's no lever on it, right? So I kind of have to sit there and go, oh, is it going this way? Or flip it over, is it going this way? And
right.
kind of test it before I start using it. It'd be nice to just kind of look at it and know as you're going to use it which way you're going to be
yeah,
wrench in here.
Definitely. And as of the time of this recording,
uh-huh.
I can't remember what it was the other day. Yesterday, I think it was when we recorded
the last episode. Thursday. Okay. Yeah.
I don't remember what number we're at, but this is the time to recording this on Thursday mm-hmm. before Monday. And I have 3,505 comments.
Holy shit.
Right? And I apologize if I haven't given you a like. I've given up on trying to keep up on this.
I remember when we were recording yesterday. So that means in one day you've had...
What was I at? Do you remember?
We were at 2,700 yesterday.
Yeah, so I'm getting about 1,000 a day.
1,000 a day. Wow. That's crazy.
And technically there's 4 more days to go.
Yeah.
3.5 more days to go.
Yeah. I didn't think it was going to go that crazy. I haven't actually checked Instagram yet today. Has there been still people tagging random people? And
I
would assume probably because yeah. the episode, we just released Thursday's episode, 2 hours ago?
Yeah.
So I don't know if anybody's listened to it yet. But wow, 3,500 for those last two kits.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I know.
Wow. Okay. That's impressive. I am impressed. You guys are killing it out there, and it's yeah. awesome to see.
Yes, thank you.
I wanted to read a few more reviews. So the first one, like we mentioned in the last episode, I was going to save this one, and so we're going to bring it out right now. It's from Lorenzo the Ass, and so we're going to have to... I'm going to read... I'm going to read this review, and we have to decide if it's the Lorenzo or if it's another just Lorenzo another. Posing
okay.
as Lorenzo.
Sounds good.
And it says, not just Yoda talk, and Yoda is Yoda.
Okay.
Do you like making fun of Toyotas? Well, this is the podcast for you. Jimmy and Tyler are entertaining, funny, and knowledgeable. He even spelled that right. Wow. I'm impressed. Even though I could care less about 2,000-to-1 final drive ratio or how Toyota axles are samurai one tons, they discuss several topics that relate to all four-wheelers. They're not afraid to take on projects that are new to them and learn from their mistakes and share that information with the listeners. Definitely worth subscribing to them if you enjoy four-wheel and off-road. I don't know. That seems a little nice
it
to
does.
Be Lorenzo after we treated him the way we did. I kind of feel a little bad now.
I know. Maybe he's somewhat forgiven us.
Maybe. Maybe he was just really drunk when he wrote it. I don't know. Or maybe
he was,
he's finally
he
sobering up.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Knowledgeable, right? I don't think I could do that if I was sober.
Right. No, that's cool. And speaking of this specific sentence, they're not afraid to take on projects that are new to them and learn from their mistakes and share the information with the listeners. I forgot to mention something in the last episode.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, when I created my radiator geyser.
Yes.
I burned the shit out of my hand.
I know you did. I saw the photos on Instagram.
Yeah.
So what did we learn from that experience?
That all those cute little warning labels that say, do not touch this when it's hot and
yeah.
do not open the cap when it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
You should heed those warnings and do not open things or touch them when they're hot.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's wise words.
Yeah. So learn from my mistakes. Do as I say, not as I do. As one of our favorite sayings.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that was Lorenzo the ass. I'm still up in the air as to whether or not that was the real Lorenzo.
I don't know.
Or if it was the owner of the Mexican food restaurant down the road. So another review.
Okay.
From TrueDog8841. He says, this is my go-to podcast by far. Exclamation, 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 exclamation. That is 6 exclamation points.
Nice.
I'm digging the amount of effort in the exclamations.
Yeah. That's a lot of shifting.
That is a lot of shifting. It's like a Toyota. he says, I have listened to hundreds of different podcasts, and this one's by far and away the best. Jimmy and Tyler are very passionate about their fan base. Their content is top-notch, along with some great interviews from some of the best in the off-road business, like Jason Hussman. And these guys rock. They make the commute to and from work fun and interesting. I have supported them since day one, and yes, listening to them has made me a better mechanic, which I never thought was possible. Keep up the great content, laughs, and audio work. Looking forward to another 100 episodes and more. True Dog Trails.
Thanks to True Dog.
Yeah, that was really cool. Speaking of giving shout outs to Jason Hussman, I just wanted to say that I don't know if anybody ended up following him on Instagram, but he posted some pictures.
He did.
After the episode. And he looks like a little baby next to Ruth Truck.
It was really, I'm glad he did that because it actually, I liked seeing the progression that, like, we talked about in the episode of his buggy. Uh-huh. You know, and he did, you know, he showed Ruth, and then he showed it with the wood frame for that he designed up, and then he showed Ruth with the woody. Yeah. I don't know. That's sort of wrong to think about now as grandma. But
oh, gee.
And then, you know, and the progression there forward, you know, and then we get to have him in the studio.
Yeah.
So
it was really cool. So shout out to you, Hussman, out there. So hey, buddy. Anyway, so I think that's you. As I was kind of looking for Lorenzo's review, there you got a box and put it up on the table here.
I did. I got a box. We received.
What's in your box, Jimmy?
In my package.
In your really nice package.
We received a box from where? Pennsylvania.
Ooh, PA.
Yeah, PA.
I almost moved there. I almost took a job there. And then I did some research and found out that... Is that written with crayons?
It's written in probably orange Sharpie. Oh. I don't know.
That's funny. No, I did some research and found out the highest elevation in Pennsylvania is 3,000 feet. And I was like, nope, I'll stay here. Thanks for the job offer, but no thanks.
And so this gentleman... obviously knows that I am the best podcaster because he put my name first.
Oh, see, and as we learned earlier, Jimmy is the favorite. Mm-hmm. So,
Jimmy Tyler.
Is that one name? Are you Jimmy Tyler now?
There's a slash in there. Jimmy / Tyler. Wash them a couple times.
Wash them a couple times?
Wash them a couple times before you wear them. They do get a bit wrinkled, but definitely keep the sparks at bay. Best of thanks for the easy listening, Doug T or 9TOETJR.
Oh, 9TOE. Oh, are these the
are the spark proof, fireproof shirts?
That's so cool.
Yeah,
that's badass.
Yeah, they look really good. I wonder if you want to wash them so they like get more pliable. I don't know.
Maybe. I was thinking you might need to wash them.
They look like denim.
It says it's a denim shirt, but I know denim is supposed to be pretty like fire retardant, fire resistant.
I like it.
Care instructions. Cool. And
what are they?
I'm trying to find like the description on the tag that says like exactly what it is. Oh, there's even a spot inside the shirt that says property of with a blank on there.
Uh-huh. So I can write my name on the inside of your shirt.
No, it's mine. Back the fuck off, Jimmy. Those are really cool.
Yeah, it looks
really
good.
These are awesome. And now I can throw away my flannel shirt that I keep in the rig.
Yeah, I can stop burning all my snail trail shirts. Right?
These are awesome.
I just have a holy shirt.
Yeah. Well, you could also...
That reminds me of a joke.
another joke?
Do you know how make?
You've already gotten your joke allotment for the day.
Do you know how they make holy water?
No.
They boil the hell out of it.
Oh yeah. But anyways,
there's a free dad joke for you.
That was, yeah. You, Jimmy has uncopyrighted that one, so everyone's allowed to use it now. So no, that was super awesome. That's super cool.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. Appreciate it. Excited to try them out.
I know. I'll have to go burn some stuff later on.
That sounds good.
I know. I actually, I didn't get my catalytic converter yet because I bought the new catalytic converter and
from Amazon.
From Amazon. It's awesome. Because I don't have an OBD2. I can because I don't have an OBD2 rig vehicle. So, but it came without the flanges on it.
Mm.
So I have to weld the flanges on, but I don't have electricity set up in my garage yet for my welder. So I might be over here to see if these shirts are really that spark and fire resistant.
Bring it on.
Got it. So super cool. That's awesome. Thank you so much. Let's see. Now I've lost track of what we're doing. That's all we need to do. We can just end it, right?
Yeah, we're done.
Let's okay.
Call it.
Do you got any final words for everybody?
Peace out. We out.
We out. Oh, man. So cool. Let's go ahead and take a quick break then. And we'll be right on back with some really exciting information that Jimmy and I got really giddy about. And we hope you guys do too. So go ahead and grab your lattes if you drive a JK. Grab your Americanos if you're driving that Gladiator.
And if you drive a Ford, grab the Budweiser.
Welcome back, ladies, gents, and kiddos, to today's campfire discussion. This one came very well timed. It ended up working out perfectly because Jimmy and I have been bitching and complaining about something for a little bit here, a little while. We did a couple episodes on it, and we think we found an answer. We think we found a solution to our problem. And it does not involve medicated ointment, at least in my case. I don't know about Jimmy's, but, no, it's, we've been complaining a little bit about the, Toyota's lack of having a true trail, hardcore trail vehicle, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that has been come about that has been given competition to the Jeep platform, the Wrangler platform, right? Toyota tried to do it with FJ Cruiser. And that failed. They don't flex. They're big fat pigs. They're not nimble on a trail. They're big heavy. They break components. So,
unless you do a lot of work,
but, once you get 49 inch tires on them, they're pretty badass, but yeah. And then, Chevy came out the ZR2 as kind of a somewhat of a competition, but they messed up really bad because they made it a long wheelbase pickup truck that you can't put bigger than like 33 inch tires under. So without bigger than 35, 37s in a long wheelbase vehicle, you just don't have ground clearance. You don't have the breakover angles for hardcore trails.
Right.
Let's see what else happened here. GMC hasn't really done anything. Toyota is kind of just with the Tacoma and 4Runner platform. They're just completely fine hitting the middle of the market segment that just wants to go out and adventure, but not really do hardcore trails. And they do that really, really well. I think they do that better than Jeep. But I still feel like, and you've mentioned it too, nobody has ever come out with, since 2004 when the Rubicon model first came in the market with the TJ? The TJ Rubicon.
Did it hit the TJ?
It did, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, TJ Rubicon.
I thought it started in the LJ.
No.
But I'm no Jeeper, so.
Well, the LJ was at the same time as the TJ. The LJ is a slightly longer TJ.
Mm.
So the long J is how you think of it. But anyways,
long J for you.
I don't know why I found that so funny.
Grow up, Tyler.
Oh, man. Anyways. excuse me. Since 2004, so 16 years now, Jeep has really had no competition in that segment of the market, right?
Yeah, I agree.
And so we've been kind of looking in anticipation at the new Ford Bronco that's coming out here in about a week from now.
Yeah.
A week from when you guys are listening to this. So we wanted to...
The press release is coming out.
The press release. That's going to have all the details.
Yeah, they're not releasing the Bronco.
Correct. Yeah, you can't purchase one, I don't think, yet.
You can probably pre-order one.
Yeah. But the press release is either scheduled to hit July 9th or July 13th. I found multiple dates in different places. So... but we wanted to go back a little bit, so this episode is going to be a Ford episode. So all of you Ford fans out there, sit down and buckle up, put on your 5-point harnesses, because we're going to flop you over and roll you over here with all these knowledge bombs. Yeah, right.
Or first on race day.
I don't know about that one. but anyway, so... before we get into what's coming here, what we think might be coming, and some of the information that has been found out and put into a couple different places on the interwebs, we wanted to do a little brief history of the Bronco.
Yeah, I thought this would have been fun, or would be fun, because, you know, we want to talk about what's coming up, but, you know, a lot of times to learn about what the Bronco is, you know, because it's been gone for a number of years. Over 20 years, almost.
Over 24 years.
24. Mm-hmm. It's been out of existence in the automotive world.
Uh-huh.
I thought we might jump back into history a little bit and talk about...
Time warp.
Where the Bronco came from, who was targeted at, and then we can jump forward into where we're going in the future.
Cool. I like it.
Yeah.
So let's jump on back. The Bronco become an idea in a twinkle in somebody's eye?
Well, I have no idea.
Oh, come on.
The first release of the Bronco came out in 1966.
Wow.
So the twinkle probably was a year or so before.
Okay. Nice.
Nine months before.
9 months before. Is that how long it takes to birth a vehicle?
Maybe. Yeah. If not longer.
Yeah.
Definitely targeted at an off-roader.
Absolutely. You
know, they were built with some solid axles underneath. They had a range of engines inside of them.
Yep.
And what was the wheelbase? Was 86?
First gen Bronco, it was 85 or 86. Let me see here. It says 92.
Oh, 92.
92 inch.
So it was a good, you know, it was definitely longer than what the Jeeps were at that time.
The CJs, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and a lot of Broncos were used in tons of off-roading races at that time.
A lot.
Yes. And so...
Do you know why that was?
I would... Not essentially, but I'll guess because of the power plant that was inside of it.
Combination of the power plant and the axles that were under it.
Okay.
It had better axles from the factory than CJ's did.
Oh.
It had a Ford 9-inch in the rear, which, as we all know, is an awesome fucking axle.
Yes.
And then the first 3 years of production was a Dana 30 in the front. And then the last 8 years of production, they switched over to a 44 in the front. So, and that combined with, like you said, the power plant had a range of power plant options from a 2.8 liter all the way up to a 4.9 302 cubic inch V8.
Yeah. The Bronco, I mean, that first gen Bronco is so iconic these days.
It is.
It's an amazing.
It has a cult following, kind of like the Toyota mini trucks are starting to get.
Kind of.
So, yeah.
I think they're beautiful.
They're gorgeous.
Their body lines are so amazing. Their curves, the rear end. Oh, I'm talking about the Bronco still, just so you know.
Okay. I was curious what you were getting into there, but I'll follow along.
There you go. Yeah, and there's a massive cult, like you were saying, that has to do with like complete fiberglass tubs, all fiberglass fenders. Now people are building the Bronco these days to go and do any type of off-roading out there, which is really kind of cool to see.
Yeah, there's a couple of Broncos in the Mad Hatters, first-gen Broncos, and one of them is in he takes really, really good care of it. The kind of maroon colored with the blue bumpers.
Yeah.
Beautiful rig. But he breaks stuff all the time because it has a big old engine in there.
Right.
Big old V8, and he loves listening to it roar. So, beautiful trucks.
They are.
They had a coil suspension in the front.
In the first year?
I believe so.
Wow. Yep. I didn't know that. Okay.
Coil suspension in the front, leaf spring in the rear. And then, you know, after a while, as we got further down into the other generations, they went and came out with that twin traction beam or twin
I-beam.
I-beam. There you go. And so, in the front, which is, it's a type of IFS, but it's like a beefy axle. Yeah, it's like a solid axle that pivots.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it.
I think Clifford might even have it, but I don't know how they work.
Yeah.
So
I haven't looked enough into it and to see how they work either. Cause I'm like the differential, the pumpkin is on one of the arms and then it pivots.
Right.
Up above the, it's, I don't know. And then but I'm like, how do you get the axle shaft through that pivoting zone over to the other wheel?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
I don't know much about it.
Yeah.
I know of the dual I-beam, you know, and it works and it's really good for desert racing.
It's, yep.
You get an immense amount of traction or, droop out of that area. So it was
a lot of travel,
used a lot in desert racing.
It was the standard for desert racing and Baja racing for a very long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to touch on in 1984, the Bronco 2 came out.
Okay.
Which was, it's like baby brother.
Okay.
Yeah. It was the teeny tiny little Bronco that was about the size of a Jeep. So,
okay.
That one lasted for a few years until roughly 1990 from what we found out.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole span of the Broncos went from 1966 to 1996. So a 30 year push for the Broncos.
So in 30 years, they were, they were a massively used option, like we said, in desert stuff and Baja stuff. A lot of different things that you saw racing in Baja were based off of the Bronco platforms.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of things that you saw in the rock crawling world were a lot based off of Jeep and CJ platforms or the FJ40s, a lot of. So I would like to take this moment, speaking of FJ40s, that as I was kind of doing the research, it kind of looks like this is Ford's competition to the Wrangler, right? This was the competition back in the day. And it's the competition to the FJ40.
Yeah.
Out of all three of those options, because those are kind of the three main options for off-roading back in that time, the FJ40 had the biggest axles. I would just like to put that out there.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Those 9.5-inch Land Cruiser axles.
But I think the axle shafts were smaller than the Ford 9 inches, right?
That's a good question. I don't think they were, because they had that 10-spline, that super coarse 10-spline design back then.
We'll have to go back and listen to our episode.
I know, right? That's true. So anyways, the Ford Bronco, standard for Baja desert, kind of higher speed stuff. It had an awesome power plant options. It had great axle options, great drivetrain options, a Dana 20 transfer cases. So they coil sprung front suspensions. So, I mean, they were kicking ass, man.
Yeah. And a good wheelbase for that.
A good, great wheelbase for kind of all around.
The longest wheelbase out of the CJs, the FJs, and the Bronco. So it was it was a good option for off-roading all around. You know, it was a great platform, that first gen, and then went into the OJ kind of Bronco from there. Sort of lost its traction off-road. It just became more of a commuter. And then,
when everybody saw it driving down the Los Angeles freeway, they realized
27
miles an hour. They realized it's a really nice street rig.
Definitely. Ooh, white. I like it.
I know, right? Clean.
So I want to, that kind of, you know, now that you have an understanding of, at least in our
the
hearts,
history
of what it came from, and you know, a little bit about the Bronco starting in 1966, you know, now we can move forward into like what is to come.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all stuff that we've kind of found online,
because
there's no, like we said, there's no press release, there's no actual hard data facts out yet. This is
no official statements from Ford.
Yes, from Ford. This is all a random grouping from forums and, you know, websites and
paparazzi
shots and everything from what we found, and we're kind of trying to bring it all together to lay out a good foundation of possibly what's to come.
Yes,
and I'm gonna say, I'm excited for it.
I'm really excited as well.
Yeah.
Like, I have never, ever really been a Ford fan, but I'm really liking the stuff that they've been doing the past few years.
I want to know how many people comment write down, send me an email.
We're going to have to change it to a Ford
podcast.
Would
you hate me if I bought a Ford?
Right? Because, yeah, we'll talk about this a little later on, but I might be coming up on trading in my daily driver soon, the RAV4.
Oh, yeah?
So, I don't know. We'll see how this goes. But
all right.
So, yeah, this is... So, historically, the Bronco is the competition for Ford to the Jeep Wrangler, right? So, these are things that we found. Nothing is official. Got to make sure we put that out there. Mm-hmm. But we're hoping that it kind of whets the appetite, and we'll see how many of these things actually come true on the Bronco within the next week as these press releases come out. So, let's jump right into it, shall we?
Yeah. Yes, let's do it.
All right. You can't wait anymore?
No. I'm super excited for this rig.
I am too. After kind of looking at all this.
If everything that we found was true.
Uh-huh.
It's
going to be amazing.
It's going to be a Jeep killer, which is really what I'm excited about.
Right. So you don't even care that it's a good vehicle. You're just like, we need to get rid of Jeeps.
Yeah. Everybody needs to move over to the new Bronco.
Yeah. All right. So let's start with, the power plant option. Okay.
Okay.
The teased power plant option. Let's start with the heart of the vehicle, right? Mm-hmm. So, it looks like, and what we'll do is we'll post, we found all of this on one website, pretty nice and handy. And what they have done is they've scoured the internet and been keeping kind of a running blog that they update whenever they find new piece of information from around the internet. And they have links to where they're finding the information from and the evidence for what they're finding. So I will post, or I won't, we'll have Dino over there. Since he does nothing but rub microphones anyways, we'll have him post the link down to the article in the show notes so you guys can go on and do a little bit of research and fly around the internet and find out how much of this might actually be true or not. Or you can wait within the next week and we'll see some press releases.
Might be the easier way.
Yeah. So the first thing up is that there is a rumor that the... engine is going to be very similar to the 2.7 liter EcoBoost V6 that Ford has. And that engine is a, like I said, 2.7 liter engine that produces 335 horsepower and 380 pound feet of torque. 335 horsepower and 380 pound feet of torque in a 2.7 liter engine.
Hell yeah.
A
V6 2.7.
It's a V6 2.7. So, I mean, it's got the...
Toyota has an inline 4 2.7.
Yes, an inline 4. But that's more stats. That's better stats in terms of horsepower and torque than what's in the current Tacoma.
It is. Yes.
That 3.6 or 3.8? Mm-hmm. The 3.6 liter 3.5. In the Tacomas. Is it 3.5?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's what, 280? Horsepower, horsies, and what, 250 foot-pounds of torque, something like that. So anyways, this engine as a 2.7 liter is supposed to put out those stats.
Yeah.
Impressive. They also have the Ranger as a possibility, the Ranger's power plant in there, the 2.3 liter EcoBoost. That puts out 270 horsepower and 300 pound-feet of torque, which is more in line with what the Tacoma currently is.
Right, yes,
as absolutely. A 3.5 liter. So, and then they're looking at those being paired with a 10-speed automatic transmission. So we'll see how that comes about. But they just released...
Yeah, they have another transmission that they are calling the MTI-550.
Uh-huh.
It's a modular transmission.
Interesting.
So it's kind of an interesting. So we're not exactly sure what's going to happen to it. It could be any one of these things, right?
Uh-huh.
It could support 5, 6, or 7 gears.
Wow.
So it could be 5-speed, 6-speed, or 7-speed.
Yeah.
With a reverse and an optional crawl gear.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
That's what we're thinking, because they got some pictures of the shift knob for the manual transmission. And it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like normal. Mm-hmm. And then reverse is off to the left of 1.
Yes.
And then below reverse is a C.
Yep.
What other reason is C, does C stand for? Other than maybe cruise control, but that's like, there'd be no reason to take a manual transmission and shift it into cruise control.
No.
That doesn't make sense, right?
Nope. It's like a granny gear.
Has to be a granny gear.
How
crawl
cool
gear.
Is that?
Right?
Yes.
Oh, man. So we're really excited about that little, hopefully that is a crawl gear on there. So let's see. We have a couple possible engines, a couple possible transmissions, transfer cases. Do we know anything about a transfer case? I don't think we do
much about that or what the gear ratios might be. But I mean, if you can guarantee that it's going to have a low, you know, but it doesn't say what, you know, the ratios are.
No,
that I've seen. Yeah.
My goal, I would imagine, based on kind of everything else I've been reading about through this article and kind of through other places, that they're going for best in class on everything. They want this to wipe the floor.
Yeah,
with Jeep. So
you would assume it's going to be right at that 4 range.
I think it's going to be at that 4-1 and give it a final kind of crawl ratio. It
could be at a 4-1 ratio, but then when you had the crawl gear.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Yes.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. That would make sense based on everything else that Ford has been teasing and people have been figuring out about the Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to the best in class, which is the Wrangler right now, right? The Wrangler Rubicon.
Yeah.
So transfer case, hopefully some nice low gears to get it to keep it best in class kind of thing. Let's talk about chugga.
Should we go to the body?
Let's go to axles.
Axles. Okay.
Yep. Dana did confirm that it is making the Advantech 44, so a very, very similar axle, if not the same one, that's under the JL.
Okay.
They said that they are producing that for Ford.
Right.
And the only platform that would make sense to have, and they said front and rear, so Advantech front and rear axles for Ford. The only platform that makes sense to have a solid front axle on would be the Bronco. That Ford currently has. It makes no sense to put it under the Ranger or the F-150.
Not the F-150. I mean, it could go under a Ranger. I could see that.
Possibly, but it...
It could be under both.
It could be under both, absolutely. But I think out of everything, it makes the most sense to be under the Bronco, right?
Yes.
So we can safely assume that it's probably going to have those Advantech 44 axles front and rear.
Yes.
Whether or not those have selectable lockers, we don't know, but I would imagine, again, based on everything else, that they're going for
that it's
best in class.
Front and rear selectable lockers.
That'd be my guess, too.
Yeah.
They're already kind of producing that axle in mass quantities for Jeep with all of the gears set up in them with the lockers and everything. It would just make sense to continue and just ramp up production for Ford as well.
Right? I agree.
Okay, so let's go to that's a possible axles. I heard a rumor, I don't know if it was on this article, if it was somewhere else I found it, that there's talk about having a trim model option that you'll be able to put 37s under.
Serious?
There's enough space they're trying to put enough space in the wheel wells to fit 37s. Whether or not they actually accomplish it is going to be very impressive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that I saw a couple of articles. I don't think it was this one, but I've seen a couple of articles that mentioned a couple of different places now about fitting 37s in the wheel wells.
Okay. That would be rad.
That'd be badass, right? So let's move to the body.
Okay. Yeah, the body is going to be available in both of a two-door and a four-door option.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they're going to have something that they're calling the Baby Bronco.
That's,
which is, I'm assuming it's going to be like the Bronco, too.
Maybe.
It's
going to
be
probably
something small.
Yeah.
You know, another, like, just something a little bit tinier than what the current Bronco is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Something I would say is compatible to, like, the Wrangler versus the Renegade.
Oh, that could be,
right?
Or like the Patriot or something.
Yeah,
the Jeep Patriot, or
yeah, I think more the Renegade. Isn't the Renegade? I think the Renegade's a really small one, right?
It was. I want to say. That's a good question. I don't remember the Renegade is like a small Cherokee.
Yeah, then it must not be the Renegade. I'll get Dino looking on it. What?
What
one
if it was the Liberty? Because that's a tiny little baby Jeep. No, but yeah, they one of the members of Bronco Forum discovered several part numbers under the name Maverick.
Dino did. Mm-hmm. It is the Renegade. Is the small, tiny little Jeep that's out there right now.
Yep.
So that the baby Jeep, or the baby Bronco, might be something like Wrangler to the Renegade.
The Renegade. So, okay.
Sorry to interrupt, but go ahead.
No, that's fine. So yeah, they were just speculating based on some part numbers that have been found, that there's going to be this kind of maybe a tinier version of the Bronco.
Yeah. Exactly. Along with that, I think one of the cool options that they're talking about, which was available in the first gen Bronco, is the removable hardtop.
Yes.
So that's another feature that's really cool that, you know, the Jeep does as well. This one, when you pull the top off, you are the A pillar stays, but the B pillar, C pillar, and D pillar are all going to be removable.
Yes. So. Which is going to be interesting because I want to know if they then have any kind of roll bar or anything like that.
Yeah.
The article says they found a patent that Ford had submitted to the patent office. And in the drawings, it shows what looks like the body lines of a Ford Bronco with a completely movable top, just like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious. That's going to be... awesome.
That'll be really cool to see. Yeah. It would be, I'm foreseeing some really cool roll bar setups coming out.
Yeah.
Because if you can just pull the top off and there's no other support up there, I mean, that's going to be really dangerous.
It'll be super dangerous.
So, you know, you do want a roll bar.
Mm-hmm.
Can I take a quick tangent?
Sure.
A side note.
We like tangents here on the podcast.
While I was out camping down at the Feather River, Outsane 80 sent me a message that I received while I was on the road, and he said, "Let's talk about harnesses." And he said,
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said, "Don't ever wear a harness if you don't have a roll bar."
Yes.
Because the harness will lock you into place, and if you do roll, the roof could collapse and it'll pinch you in place because you can't kind of be leaned out of the way. Where if you are just using your normal seatbelt and the roof collapses, the roof will kind of push you out of the, you know, your body will be pushed out of the way.
Yeah.
So it was a safety thing. He was saying, if you are looking at going harnesses, you make sure you have a roll bar.
100%.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, all right, back to Bronco.
Cool. Broncos.
Yes.
What was another feature that was kind of found on the patent office? On the Broncos.
The removable door skins.
Yeah.
I said that correctly.
I believe so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can remove the door
and
like the skin of the door, and there's...
The door's like the body panel, essentially,
like
the door.
Yeah,
like
the body panel, but there's still the like bar, the support bar is still there.
Yeah.
So more or less it comes with tube doors.
Yeah. Every single Bronco, I don't know if every single one, but this patent shows that the door panel, the door skin is removable and you have tube doors underneath.
Yes.
And it's like,
so it's like, oh, I'm going out in the middle of summer and I don't want to run with my doors on. I'll just take the skins off and I still have the factory supported you know, bash panels that are tubed doors that are there.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's badass, right?
Definitely.
So that is some of the body stuff. Let's see what else is there on here that we can tease about. They're saying some of the other stuff is like the front grill. There's gonna be a few different options. And it looks like, you know, Ford bought a big share of Rivian.
Okay.
And the front grille definitely looks Rivian-esque from the pictures that have been leaked. So I'm wondering if how much of Rivian is going to play into the Bronco platform here. It did say that there's almost definitely going to be a hybrid option, but there's no... stats on what that hybrid option could be, which makes sense because Ford has already been teasing about having a full electric F-150 and using a lot of the Rivian's patents to go through the doing that and accomplishing that. It makes sense that they're going to come up with some kind of hybrid power plant for the Bronco down the road here.
Down the road, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Another really interesting thing, this article says, at the very end, it says, we're curious to see if either of these features will actually be in production. So we'll go, I'll lead off with how they closed.
Okay. Tarantino-ing it?
Yeah, kind of. Repackable airbags.
Oh, okay.
And you're like, what? Repackable airbags?
Why would you?
So their claim, the claim here is that Ford actually filed a patent for repackable airbags.
Interesting.
Right? And that was found by Car and Driver.
Uh-huh.
And their argument kind of is, why would you want that? Well, you would want that if you're off-roading and you're in the middle of nowhere and you actually get into an accident.
Uh-huh.
If you can self-arrest yourself, what's the word I'm looking for? If you can save yourself and put you back on the wheels,
I gotcha.
Then the airbags actually hinder
self-recover
yep. yourself. Then the airbags actually hinder your driving ability.
Oh,
so
that
if
makes
you
sense.
Can pack them back away,
yeah.
I don't know if once you pack them away, if they're going to be usable again,
yeah.
or if they're just able to be put away
so that you can
just store for storage,
get your vehicle
so that
somewhere.
You can have better visibility as you're driving.
Okay.
So there's the option or there's the opportunity that there might be some sort of repackable airbags.
Yeah.
Which is something I've never thought about or heard about. So
yeah.
It's kind of cool.
That'll be interesting. I'm curious to see more about those repackable airbags and kind of see them in action, kind of see more of the thinking behind them, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else did we find about this thing here? So it looks like it's going to come in quite a few different color options.
Okay.
So some of the color options that looks like it'll be allowed in or offered in, that's what
okay.
I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Is going to be the antimatter blue metallic.
Okay.
Cyber orange pearl.
I like the antimatter.
Right? I mean, it's supposed to be like a midnight blue, like a deep midnight blue kind of thing.
Got it.
Cyber orange pearl, which I'm guessing it looks kind of like a neon orange with a pearly finish to it.
Iridescent.
Mm-hmm. Fighter jet gray, which is similar to
the cement in the
Tacomas.
Mm-hmm.
The carbonized gray metallic, which is kind of more of a, I don't want to say sparkly or glittery gray, but then it has almost like a...
Is it like Charlotte?
Kind of. It would be, I think, a little bit more like that color, but the finish on it, it looks different.
Okay.
They're Oxford white, which is... one of Wheeling Wine and Whiskey's, when they were doing their interviews with their what's your favorite color for people and everything,
okay.
one of their interviewers said Oxford white.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't remember who it was. But anyways, it's just a pure white. Race red, which is like almost like a Ferrari kind of red. Lucid red pearl, which is kind of a darker red, like a maroon. Area 51, which it's I can't really tell what color that is. It almost looks a little greenish, bluish, grayish.
Army-ish,
yeah. Absolute black, which is deep black, and then iconic silver metallic, which that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So
I found something that was buried deep in this article that
Really?
I think a lot of people would be interested about.
Okay.
They posted a little video, a 46 long video. Bronco mud testing. This will be in the link that is down below.
Mm-hmm.
Around the 24 second mark, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Around the 24 second mark, the Bronco four door shows what seems to be a front dig feature.
No shit.
Yep. Which breaks the rear inside and spins the front inside to decrease the turning radius on loose surfaces. They do go...
What?
This is meant to squeeze through tight places.
Yeah.
It is a similar concept to turning assist control, which is on some Toyota SUVs currently.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if you're on a super tight, if you like lock it out on a loose surface and probably going... on a very, like, in four low, it might do a front dig for you.
Yeah. Or maybe there's a button somewhere that says you can do a front dig and it'll do it to whichever direction you're turning.
Yeah.
I just got shivers.
This thing is so cool.
Yeah. Wow. Holy crap. So, and it, yeah, that's, this is going to be crazy.
Everything on this list is actually going to happen. This is going to be rad.
I will, I'll end up becoming a Ford Bronco fanboy if all this happens. Yeah, there were still, like we said, we don't know exactly what is going to happen, what's not going to happen. But we know from patents that have been filed, from snapshot paparazzi photographers that have been able to pick up random pictures in the wild of it, current motors and transmissions that Ford has at its disposal, a press release about from Dana about producing the Advantech axles front and rear for Ford. There's a lot of really interesting data and information out there that when you kind of read between the lines, you can start putting together this picture and this story of what the new Bronco might actually have on it.
Right. One of the things I do want to say is that they're actually, almost every video that is in or it shows, it's still camouflaged or covered up. And, you know, we don't actually know what it's going to look like. There's a few leaked photos that are kind of teasing, but, you know, it's like, how much is that as photoshopped or what? But when you do look at the wrapped, like covered rig, you can still see that it's keeping the sort of a squarer body. It's still resembling some of the first gen markings that are on
some of the body lines, the raised fenders that come over and then come back down to the hood.
Yeah,
those look like some of those are there.
It looks like that's there. And then one of the things that there was in November, they actually had a Bronco that raced in Baja.
Yes.
And it's very close, or if possible, the lines that we're all talking about, right? And so they might have sort of teased us with this body that came out in November to race the Baja 1000. The truck didn't actually finish.
No. But
they said it's a Baja ready truck and it's called the Bronco R, and it came out in November. So if you want to kind of peek at that, you can definitely see what the Bronco R looked like, and that might give you a good idea of what's to come on the current Bronco.
Nice. So yeah, I skipped over the first couple of paragraphs because they kind of update it and the information gets pushed down, but it does say one of their latest updates that it will be officially revealed on July 13th. Previously, the reveal was set for July 9th, O.J. Simpson's birthday, before being moved following public outcry. that's hilarious.
I remember seeing advertisements or people going like, this is amazing, you know, Ford, great job releasing the Bronco on O.J.'s birthday.
Oh, that's awesome. That's amazing. So July 13th, which means, you know, July 13th with the pandemic and COVID going on, they're not going to be able to do it at like at an auto show. They're not going to be able to have a show for it.
It'll probably be online.
So it's going to be online.
Yeah.
So I don't care what day July 13th is. I'm going to hunt down and try and figure out how to make sure I'm able to sit there and watch that reveal of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, that's sexy.
Yeah. I'm just flipping through the photos of what the race truck looked like.
Yeah.
They have a photo in here that has the race truck next to a first gen, and it's bigger. It's like, it's quite a bit longer and it's more wide stance. But this is, you know, probably one of a first gen that raced Baja versus a highly modified new vehicle that's racing Baja. So,
yeah.
But it's a sexy looking truck.
It is.
It's, yeah.
I will be impressed. As we all know, I'm a big fan of off-roading SUVs and kind of getting into rock crawling SUVs. So if everything that they say that this article teases at, if everything comes true, like I might be starting a Ford Bronco podcast. I don't know. We'll see. But anyways, so that's the info that we've been able to find.
July 13th is a Monday.
July 13th is a Monday. Perfect. I am going to be on that online reveal, just FYI. So yeah, July 13th. That's a week from when everyone's going to be listening to this.
Yeah. So next Monday.
So next Monday,
is the reveal.
We'll see if we can find some times that that the meeting is going to start at. I don't know if they'll release times or anything by Thursday's episode, but hopefully we might be able to find something and get some info out to you guys as to when that reveal is going to happen and take place.
I'll call my buddies at Ford, you know.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, man. So Ford Bronco.
Yeah. If everything that they say and these are the article that we read was coming out, A plus to you, Ford.
Huge applause. Like, yes. We'll just sit back and watch Dino try and applaud.
He can't really get his arms.
He can't get his arms around there. Yeah. other kind of slightly related news.
Okay.
The 7.3 liter.
I saw that.
Is now available as a crate engine.
I did see that. Yeah. And I forgot who it was. Was it Kobe or somebody that sent us that? Mm-hmm. And then he said, should I throw this in my LJ?
Yeah. Right.
Like, that motor in your LJ would you do just drive on your front two wheels with it, your bumper on the ground.
Yeah.
It would be so heavy.
Yeah.
That's kind of a cool thing to see, that the crate engine coming out for the 7.3.
I think it's cool. I think it's awesome.
It's a powerhouse. That's what is in Clifford, you know, and I know that's what Kobe has a Ford, and that's what's in his, and Jason has a Ford, but he doesn't have that one.
Unfortunately. He has like a 6.0.
6.7, I thought.
I thought he has a 6.0, and then he had to, maybe that was his old one.
Yeah.
But I remember him saying he had the 6.0 for a very long time and did all the work on it that you have to do to a 6.0 to make it reliable.
Yeah.
And he said after he did that, it was a great engine.
Yeah.
But he might have the 6.7 in his new truck. You're right.
But that 7.3 is, you know, it's an iconic engine. It's a, you know, it's a powerhouse. It's not fast. It's not,
it's torquey.
It's super torquey.
Yeah.
And it's very reliable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think that's one of the, a great thing that Ford's doing there too, is releasing this, engine out in the public again.
Maybe we should put that in Samantha. Right. We put it in the bed.
Yeah.
Reverse the drivetrain. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the Ford episode on the Toyota podcast for everybody out there.
while we're continuing on Ford stuff, actually Clifford's at the doctor.
Oh yeah,
Clifford's getting a little bit of a facelift. Not a facelift, but a little bit a tummy tuck. I don't know how you want to say. It's
a colon
getting
cleaning.
The AC done on it.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah, it's functional, but it doesn't really blow cold air.
Mm-hmm.
And the few of the hoses are bad and like have rusting on them, and so it looks like we're refrigerant or coolant or Freon or whatever is inside of that thing could have been coming out, and so it didn't really have any pressure in it. We pressurized it, ran it, it didn't really blow cold, so there's something else going on. So got it at the doctor, they're cleaning that up, and then I've had a problem with the trailer lights and trailer blinker and brakes and everything going on. And so that's getting inspected so that it'll be, I can have a nice cold drive and have the proper lights going on my way down to the safety clinic.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Is Bobcat going to make it to the safety clinic?
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
Yeah. We actually have the slave labor is over right now.
Yeah. We do have a buddy of ours in the shop kind of tinkering on Bobby right now, getting some things ready. Seatbelts should be in anytime.
Nice.
If they haven't arrived already, I just haven't checked the doorstep. We're working on the brakes today.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm excited to see Bobcat's brakes finally get done.
Mm-hmm.
And then the high pinion put in.
Yeah. The high pinion is going to be put in unless I have to cut down the drive shaft. Because I don't know about how time's going to fit.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And then you got the two-piece rear drive shaft with the carrier bearing.
I did. I don't know if I'm going to get that in time for the safety clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the from the transmission or the T-case to where the carrier bearing is, I put another transfer case in, so I have to shorten that one down.
Yep.
And then I don't know how the distance is from the carrier bearing back. It should be pretty damn pinion. Close to stock if it's stretched out a little bit because of the lift.
Gotcha.
But I would have to modify that one as well to put it into Bobcat to get it before the safety clinic, and I'm not going to get... That's just a lot of work to get done.
Yeah.
Put it in, measure it, take it down to sac drive line and have them do it and then get it. And, you know, when I have a functional working drive shaft right now.
Cool. When you have a functional shaft.
I do.
Again. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah,
goes with the package.
Goes with your package and your box. And what was the other thing you said? Your nice J or a big J? I don't remember what it was.
Something like that.
Oh, man.
I'll just leave it at that.
So, very cool. We have some more updates to give you guys. We'll save them for Thursday's episode and what we've been up to. Jimmy and I have been talking a little bit. We kind of teased on the last episode about possibly adopting a trail of some kind or doing something with under the Snail Trail channel, right? So we've been talking, trying to come up with some few ideas. So we might have some other ideas. So we might announce some of those ideas and see if you guys would have any input on Thursday's episode. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned for that. We're going to have all 7 of the remaining winners announced on Thursday's episode. So that's going to be a really big, exciting episode.
Yeah.
For the Gear Wrench Tool Month, the winners from those, the other $7,000 kits of tools. And then within the next week or a week from today, we'll get final details on what the Ford Bronco is actually going to be bringing on.
We'll
to
get
the market
details
here.
Whether Tyler's going to buy a Bronco or not.
Right, pretty much. Hey, you can put a down payment for $100 right now.
On it?
I think it's a down payment. Let's see what it said.
Can we get our money back if we don't do it? Let's just put money down on it.
It says, after the meeting, you'll be able to reserve one with a $100 refundable deposit.
Let's do it.
You want to?
Do they have a yellow color?
Do they have a yellow color for the Snail Trail?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think it was just that neon orange purple or pearl.
So
one.
You would do one deposits. Of the greens.
I would do the green ones. Yeah, something green. Or we can...
You don't
just paint it right
you
away.
You don't do green. Black in Sacramento.
No.
I'll drop that
do
one.
Do not do the black in Sacramento. So cool. That's it. That's all we have for you guys. If you had more info about the Bronco that you knew that we did not cover, let us know. Send them on over to one of the emails, Jimmy or Tyler at SnailTrail4x4. And then we'll have Dino kind of curate all those and get them to us. I'm still convinced that Dino helped Lorenzo write that review. I don't think Lorenzo did it. But then at the same time, I'm like, Dino's arms, I mean, they're just not conducive for typing on a keyboard. We'll put it that way. So I don't know. We got to figure out who wrote
Dino
that.
Dino can hit the microphone button, though.
That is true. He can hit the
voice
the text to speech. Yeah, there you go. Speech to voice text. That's what it is. You're a smart guy, Jimmy. Oh, man. So with that, Jimmy, do you have any final words for everybody out there?
Nice job, Ford.
And with that, my friends, keep crawling with hopefully a crawl gear. I know you have one.
I do. I got one for you. Okay. Do you know why scientists hate atoms?
Atoms? Does it have to do with Eve?
No.
Oh.
It's because they make up everything.
Oh. That is true. It's like Karens.